Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in on the conversation tonight. You can call us 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And just remember to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. All right, we're going to get into our program here tonight. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to be on the air tonight. Just pray that you would bless the program this evening. Again, help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We just pray, Lord, that you would also help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to be able to point people that are walking with you, to help them to walk in a closer walk with you. And we just pray we can encourage one another along the way. Father, we just want to thank you again for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, good evening. What an absolutely gorgeous weekend that we've had here in northeastern Ohio. And, you know, when we think of northeastern Ohio in the in April, it can be anything. It's pretty much a grab bag as to what you're going to get. As we were leaving church tonight, I was encouraging some people, enjoy our final waning hours of summer because winter's going to be back in the middle of the week. And that's northeast Ohio in April, transition month. But absolutely beautiful yesterday, beautiful today. It was 75 degrees when I got out of my car here at the studios today. And just a beautiful night, very comfortable outside. And it's just been nice the past several days to just sit outside and enjoy the weather. But this too shall change. So, the old thing, April showers to bring May flowers. And so I hope you'll be able to get out and enjoy some good weather tomorrow and over the next couple of days before it turns kind of wintry again. But then it'll be back, and before you know it, we'll all be complaining about the heat too much. And we never seem to be quite satisfied, are we? Well, you are listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And also, reminder that I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That's our main sponsor of our program. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find a variety of things, including past programs. I think I'm current through this past Friday, April 22nd, on the programs that are listed there. There's also some links to some articles and different things that are there, and some comments and such that I have there, all at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link from that to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And again, just to remind you, we are still in the process of getting everything updated with our announcements and everything on the radio. I believe the announcement last week was updated already in the middle of the program, but we still have some announcements at the end of the programs that are needing to be updated yet. We're still working on that, and so when you hear the end of the program, it still gives our previous meeting location as the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We are now at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, still in Richfield. We're just a little further south in Richfield now. We're about 4 miles south of where we were meeting before. And we're right off from Interstate 77 as well as Interstate 271 and right where Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road intersect. So easy to get to, and I hope you'll come out and visit us sometime at our new meeting location, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. Again, if you go online to liveatpastoral.com, you can link to our church, you can link to some other things there, find out that information if you didn't get all the address and everything. All right, well, we're going to, again, get back into some things. Certainly, things are beginning to heat up, if they weren't heating up before, in regards to the May 3rd primary election. And let me encourage you to be informed. There's a variety of sources of information that you can find. Of course, you can go to the candidates' websites. Go to ohioca.org. Ohio Christian Alliance has some voter guides for the governor's primary, as well as the U.S. Senate primary. And then if you live in the new congressional district, 7th congressional district, or the new, I know I'm going to mess this up. I want to say the 13th. I believe that's the number. I'll double check that. But they have a voter guide that has some of that information as well. And you can see some of the people that are there. I wanted to point out that if you're curious as to why some people are in their voter guide and some people are not, yes, it is the 7th and the 13th districts. The 7th district basically is Medina County, parts of Cuyahoga County, a little bit of Wayne County, and maybe a little bit of Lorain. And then the 13th district is essentially Summit County and northwestern Stark County. And the reason that there are certain people that are in the voter guide and other people are not in the voter guide, it's not that they picked and choose. The voter guide is a result of surveys that were sent to all of the candidates. And every candidate had an opportunity. They were sent to the Republican candidates. They were sent to the Democrat candidates. They were sent to the independent candidates. They were sent to Libertarian and Communist Party, whatever. If they were a candidate in either the Ohio 7th Congressional District or the 13th Congressional District or the Ohio governor race or the Ohio Senate race, they received a survey form, a questionnaire, and it had directions and information on how to fill it out, when it had to be in by, so that the voter guides could be the results could be compiled, and then the voter guides laid out and published and then printed. It's not just something that's on the computer and can be tweaked at a moment's notice. And I interviewed last Friday, and let me encourage you to check out our program from last Friday. You can find it at livewithpastoral.com. But I interviewed Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and he went through the detailed process of how they put their voter guide together. And again, as I said, if you go to their website, ohioca.org, you can click on the OCA voter guide for U.S. Senate and governor. You can also click on the OCA voter guide, congressional 7th and 13th districts. The reason some people are not there is quite simply they did not respond to the questionnaire. They chose not to send it in. And the results that are on there are the results of the questionnaires and the answers to their questions on the survey. So let me encourage you to check that out. Go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and listen to this past Friday, April 22nd, I believe it was, during the the program where I talked with Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we went in depth in detail how the voter guide is put together so that you can understand what they hope to accomplish with that. We see a bunch of different guides and surveys and things, and it's kind of interesting and I think helpful and informative to understand the nuts and bolts behind it so that you can understand what it represents better. All right. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe Nancy has been waiting here for us patiently tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
You'll have to thank you. Good evening to you. You'll have to excuse my voice. I might start coughing a little bit. And I was sad to miss Friday night, but my head cold now has turned into a cough. And I made the decision to go to a family get together today because it was just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so hard to reschedule, and I kept my distance from everybody. But anyhow, I just wanted to say how much, this isn't my question, how much I loved seeing a picture of you bouncing up and down on the trampoline that you constructed for Lauren and Christopher. That was just so much fun. It gave me a real chuckle. Thank you very much for posting that.
Well, you know,
it shows
we
that you're
put that together. I was going to say, put that together yesterday, and you know, it needed a stress test. I figured if it could handle me bouncing on it, it could handle them. So,
well, yeah, that was very entertaining. Now, my question is, and I tried to concentrate because I was finally able to hear or see the YouTube of the Friday night Bible study. And if I remember correctly, one of the issues that was brought up is that you're thinking that there's a good likelihood that in September during Rosh Hashanah that we might be raptured up. But I do recall you saying that last year, you know, prior to September.
Right.
My question is, why do you think there's more of a chance this September than last September? Thank you.
Well, let me hit the last part first, because we're closer to when he's going to come back, obviously. So since it didn't happen last year, it must be closer. But no, what we're talking about, and I'm not saying or predicting that the Lord's going to catch away believers on Rosh Hashanah this year or any year necessarily. But to me personally, you know, God is an orderly God. He does things in order. And there's seven feasts that God had set up that he asked the Jewish people to follow. And you can find them in, let's see here, Leviticus chapter 23, okay? And these feasts, and there's other things that they had in addition to these that they did, but there's seven. We call them the Levitical feasts here in Leviticus chapter 23, and it begins with Passover, which of course was just celebrated here just recently, and this is the first on this calendar of these seven Levitical feasts. And what's interesting with these is they all have a certain symbolic reference to things associated with the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah. And so Passover was the first one, and then after Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The next feast, and we call these the spring feast, because obviously we're in spring right now, and after Passover, they had unleavened bread, and then the next one was the Feast of First Fruits. Then, 50 days from Passover, I believe it is, you have the Feast of Pentecost, okay?
Cool.
Now, after that, there's a period of time that goes by through the summer with no special of these Levitical feasts here in Leviticus chapter 23. The next one does not start until the first new moon in the autumn, which is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And then, of course, it's followed quickly by the Day of Atonement, which is also fairly quickly followed by the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the autumn feasts. So what we find when Jesus came into the world, he was obviously born and laid in a manger, as the Bible says, and wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And the Bible says there were shepherds who were watching their fields, and the angel came and spoke to them. And remember, the sign that was told to them is that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Well, the importance of that sign to them is these shepherds that were outside of Bethlehem were Levitical shepherds who were overseeing the birth of Passover lambs, meaning lambs that would be certified to be acceptable to be used as a sacrifice for the Passover in the temple. Remember, people outside of the area around Jerusalem could travel to Jerusalem. They would bring money and buy a lamb when they got there and then have the lamb sacrificed for the Passover in Jerusalem and all. So Jesus was wrapped up just as these shepherds, when the lamb was born, they would inspect it. If it was perfect, no flaws, no blemishes, no discolorations, no abnormalities of any kind, they would wrap a cloth around it and set it in a little manger-like thing to keep it separated and uninjured. So when they saw Jesus laying the same way that the lambs were that they were laying aside, that's why that was significant. Now, it goes one step further, because when Jesus was crucified, he died on the cross when the Passover lambs were being slain, because he was our Passover lamb. And so he was laid in the tomb just before Passover started. So the Last Supper was like a Passover Seder, but eaten the day before, because obviously he wasn't going to be around on Passover proper, because he was slain when the Passover lambs, and he kept that type. So Jesus fulfilled the Passover, the symbolism there. And of course, remember the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost the death angel passed over. Well, what happens when somebody has the blood of Christ on the doorpost of their heart? We're immune from death. The wages of sin is death. But when you put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, the blood of Christ is applied to your heart, and you are not going to die. Not in terms of spiritual death. You might die physically, but you don't have to worry about the second death, which is to be cast in the lake of fire for all eternity. So in a sense, the death angel passes over you too. So the next one then was unleavened bread, which began the day after Passover, and sometimes the whole time was called the Days of Unleavened Bread. But this feast recognized the fact the unleavened bread, leaven is a yeast, basically, that is in the dough, and it digests the starches, and it's a decomposition process, actually, or a fermentation process, however you want to call it. And they were to have unleavened bread. That's why it didn't rise, because it didn't have the leavening agent of yeast in it or something. And so the leavening agent was a type of sin. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. He talked about little leaven leavens a whole lump. So the unleavened bread pictures the sinless sacrifice of Christ. He was our unleavened bread. He was without sin. Then, of course, first fruits is the next, and Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. It's not that God created everything or created Jesus first and then used him to create everything like the Jehovah's Witnesses and some others erroneously teach. What it is that Jesus is the firstborn or the first begotten of the dead. He's the first in the resurrection. You know, other people were restored to life, but they came back to life in their same old sin-cursed body. Jesus was the first to be resurrected. And then the Old Testament saints likewise came up with him, and they were resurrected. He was the first fruits, and that was the next feast. They would take the first fruits, and they would wrap a scarlet thread, I believe it was, around a head of, it was either wheat or rye or something, and the one that looked like it was going to ripen first, and then they would take that and wave it before the Lord, offer it before the Lord, and they wave the sheaf before the Lord, and that was what Jesus fulfilled when he was resurrected. He was the first fruits. And then, of course, on the Pentecost, well, that's when the Spirit of God came upon the church, and they were filled with power, and they went out on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 records a tremendous sermon that Peter preached, and thousands of people came to Christ that day. And then, now the church is empowered, and that's the fulfillment of Pentecost, and now nothing until Rosh Hashanah. Now, the spring feasts were all easy to tell when they began. The Pentecost began on the 14th day of the first of the month, right when the moon was full. And they used it based on that, and then first fruits or unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost all followed from that. But Rosh Hashanah is an interesting feast. It's the first of the autumn feasts, and what happens is nobody knows the day nor the hour that this feast would begin. They would know the season, and they were to be watching and waiting and listening for the trumpet. See the picture of the rapture? And so they knew the new moon was coming. They didn't know exactly what day or hour it would be certified. How do you tell? I mean, the new moon's when the moon is dark, right? And what if it's cloudy? So they had a system in place where they had spotters watching and waiting, and they would see what looked like just the barest glimmer of the edge of the new moon, and they would report that, and the Sanhedrin would double-check, I think it was, and then when they double-checked it, they would sound the trumpet, and the people, when they heard the trumpet sound, were to drop what they were doing and go to the feast. Well, what happens when the Lord comes back for us? There's the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the archangel, and Jesus calls us to drop what we're doing and come to him, right? And then, of course, we have there in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will take place after that, some other things as well, obviously. But so then the next one, or let me back up again, on the Feast of Trumpets, because the rapture is described as a time when we would know the season, but not the day nor the hour, and we're supposed to be watching and waiting. Well, that's where we say we're in the season. To me, since Jesus fulfilled the other feasts on or about the time of that feast day, it just makes sense to me that Rosh Hashanah is the next one on there. This is the next event, the catching away of the believers, the rapture of the church, that it just seems to me logical that it would take place on or about Rosh Hashanah. Now, it's not a prophecy. That's just, it just seems a reasonable guess, because God is a God of order, and he created logic after all, and he likes to fulfill the types that he set forth in the scripture, and this is the perfect type of the rapture. We know the season, we're in the season, but we don't know the day nor the hour. Then, of course, it would be followed by the Day of Atonement, a time of judgment, and that's a time of the tribulation period, which is also Daniel's 70th week, which is on hold, just like the feasts are on hold until we get to the right time. And then after that, the Lord comes back, and then we have the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, and that's where I think we'll see that fulfilled with the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation. He sets up his kingdom on earth. Now, why this particular year? Last year seemed like a very good possibility. We were talking Friday night about some people online who've calculated out different dates, the idea that there would be 7,000 years of human history, and they've worked it out to where If you had the rapture occurring this year and the tribulation starting after Rosh Hashanah, the fall of this year, 7 years for the tribulation, then 1,000 years for the return of millennial reign of Christ, and at the end of that time, you would have 6,999 years, which is one short of 7,000. And they said, why is that one short? Wouldn't that mean the next year? And the answer, of course, is found in Revelation chapter 20, where the Bible says that at the end of the millennial kingdom, the Bible says that Satan has been bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. It says in Revelation 20, verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." And so this has to have some time to take place. In fact, earlier in the chapter, in verse 3, when the devil is bound for 1,000 years, it says that he's cast into the bottomless pit. And it says, "And shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." So the theory is that that little season would be a year, and that would bring in 7,000 years. One of the reasons also that they're looking at this is a Jubilee year. And we see amazing things happen in Jewish history in these Jubilee years. And I don't have a list of them in front of me, but I believe there was a Jubilee year, 1917, concluded with the Balfour Declaration and the idea of a Jewish state being set up. And let's see, we have every... I'm trying to remember my numbers here, but I believe it's every seventh year is the Jubilee year, and we see some different things happening. 2008 was a Jubilee year, and either there's going to be some celebration or some judgment. We saw the major market crashes and everything, financial crises in 2008, and then, of course, 2008 and another seven bring you 2015, which, of course, had some things going. I'm trying to jump because we're running out of time. 2015, you had another seven, that brings us to where we're at right now, 2022. But this Jubilee back up here a second. We're talking Shemitah years every seventh year. I knew I had something incorrect there. Every seventh year is a Shemitah year. After 49 years, in the 50th year is the Jubilee year. And this year is also the Jubilee year. And that's what makes it different than last year or the year before. So, again, I apologize. I'm trying to go through this real quick. So there's a variety of things right there. But what this tells us is we are in the season. And the Bible does say that when we see, you know, the trees, you know, they're representing the states in the Middle East begin to bud and put forth their leaves, that was a sign that the Lord would be returning soon as well. And we saw those things happening in, the 20th century. Israel became a sovereign nation for the first time in almost 2,000 years in 1948. We also saw Lebanon become an independent nation. We saw Syria become an independent nation. We saw Egypt become an independent nation again, et cetera, and represented by the trees. And we see that in Luke chapter 21, verse 21, I'm sorry, verse 29, where he says, "And he spake unto them a parable, behold, the fig tree, which represents Israel, and all the trees, which I believe represent the other countries around Israel that became independent states. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." And then he says this in verse 32, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." Which means that people who saw Israel become a sovereign nation, they're not going to pass away before this is fulfilled. How long of a period of time is that? We don't know for sure. Obviously, it's more than 70 years, but there's people, plenty of people alive that saw Israel become a state, aren't they? So those are some of the reasons,
yes.
Nancy.
Amen.
I know the break is coming up in just a couple seconds, but I hope that helped you out, Nancy. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Stay tuned. We've got our half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And, of course, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll find a variety of things there, some articles that I've written and some other materials. There's some word searches there and some links to past programs that you can listen to and a number of other things all at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, you can link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. We certainly invite you to visit us there. And we had the service scheduled there and have some more information about that at the end of the program as well. Just a reminder, at the end of the program, I think we still have to update the announcement at the end of the program reflecting our new location. We are now meeting at 4174 Wheatley Road in Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. And I say new location because our first meeting there, we were trying to figure this out at church, and somebody said, well, we've been here 24 days. Well, that made sense. Our first meeting there was April 1st, so this is April the 24th, so we've been meeting there for 24 days, and it's been great, and we're enjoying it, loving it, getting a lot of work done, getting things together, and love to have you come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Just go online, livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our church, find out more information, and also enjoy some of the materials and stuff that we have all at livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And East Coast Pizza's telephone number is 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And give them a call. Let them know that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to jump back into our telephones again. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are wide open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry who's waiting, and Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Yeah, I should have said Happy Orthodox Easter. So I just thought about that after I got through talking with Nancy in the last half hour. But
yeah, Putin apparently went to that church.
The Russian Orthodox Church in. I hear he wasn't looking so good. There's suspicion that he might be ailing, and. That can be a dangerous thing, you know. I mean, if he's ailing and he's got this thing going on there in Ukraine and everything, you know, an ailing man might be pushed to make take greater chances or go further than what he might otherwise. So we need to pray for that situation.
He sanctioned Canada too, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he might have did that with the States, but I think he did that with Canada.
Yeah, well, and of course, you know, we're suffering with our own ailing leader, so that's a whole other area, too.
Yeah, us too. But anyway, your affiliate station, one guy called in, and he mentioned that both the 10 virgins, and I know I brought this up a few weeks ago, but the 10 virgins were 10 believers. And I don't believe that could possibly be, because if there were 10 virgins and there were 10 believers, there's no way that the Lord could say, but in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 25, but
right.
He answered and said, "Very, I say unto you, I know you not."
Right. And of course, the other thing that shows that some of them were not true believers is that they had no oil in their lamps. And oil is a picture of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And without the Spirit of God, they don't belong to Him.
Right. Either you're a Christian or you're not a Christian.
Now, we understand this was done before the cross, talking about before the cross. And, you know, and the Spirit of God came upon the believers on the day of Pentecost and all of that. But still, the point that's being given here is that... the oil represents, again, you know, the Spirit of God. And an unsaved person, and this applies even in the Old Testament, an unregenerate person in the Old Testament cannot understand the things of God. The Spirit of God has to move on their heart. And so whether or not they're indwelt by the Spirit of God like we are today, because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came on people and left people, even though they may still be saved, it's just the ministry of the Spirit, but it's still the fact that they could not understand spiritual things without God's Spirit speaking to them. And that's what we have here. We have the virgins that without oil were those with no spiritual understanding at all. They did not understand and they had no relationship with God, which, like you said, is why he said, "I know you not," in verse 12.
Yeah, and there's no way that he could say that if we were believers.
Yeah, so they were not people who were saved and lost their salvation. That's a complete misrepresentation of the passage. These are people who claimed to be followers of God, as some were true followers and some were not. And we have that in our churches today. I remember a guy, old gospel preacher by the name of Oliver B. Green, who used to close out his program saying, "And I pray for that poor lost church member." In other words, he recognized that our churches, good churches, nevertheless, are filled with many people who claim to be a child of God, but they're really not.
They never had no oil.
Yeah, and we may not recognize them as such until such an event like this takes place, which when the bridegroom comes, and we were talking earlier about the catching away of the believers, when that trumpet sounds and the bridegroom, meaning Christ, calls his bride home, meaning the believers, there's going to be a lot of people who claim to be Christians who are going to be left behind because no oil in the lamp.
Yeah, because if you go on in that chapter, it talks about a lot of stuff, like the hunger. I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not.
Yes, and that really is getting at the nations and how they treat God's people. I believe this applies during the tribulation period, because there's going to be, eventually the point when persecution of the Jewish people, persecution of those that come to Christ during the tribulation period, and there's going to be some places, some people, that even though they themselves may not be believers, they're going to try to help people. Because there's some people like that, their heart goes out to people, and they have compassion. And so when you look at this, this is... let's see here. I'm just kind of skim down here. Maybe I got a little bit too far here. Let's go back to the beginning here of that portion in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And this is what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. And before him shall be gathered, notice, all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And these nations, goat nations and sheep nations, and these are people who live through the tribulation period, and they're going to go in to populate the sheep nations. Are going to go in to populate the planet during the millennial period of time.
I believe that's going to be one of the biggest revivals that ever happens during the tribulation.
Yeah, because the Bible talks at several points in the book of Revelation about large numbers, innumerable multitudes of people coming to Christ. Because you have to figure, there's a lot of people who hear what we say, they think, that makes no sense to me, that sounds rather ridiculous. But if they're alive to see it happen, I believe God will bring that to their mind, and many of them will come to Christ during that time. And now there are some people who hear what we're saying, and they say, "Yeah, okay, I see, but I don't want it." Now, those people probably be the ones who believe the lie.
Yeah, and there are many, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, Catholics even, they'll come to the realization that they were duped.
Yeah. And some of them will genuinely be born again during that time. Some of them won't, but a lot of them are going to be, "Hey, Lord, Lord, didn't we?" And they'll go through the things that they claim to have done in the name of the Lord, but he's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Much like he says to the virgins without the oil in their lamps, he said that he didn't know them.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's a sad thing, and I believe that day is coming upon us.
Yeah, and that's where it's important that people, investigate the claims of the gospel, know whether or not they're truly saved. And then if you are truly saved? What are you doing to serve God? What does God want you to do? How can you be better, a better witness, a better testimony for Him? If you're not saved, then, you know, understand the gospel and investigate it. Put your faith in Christ and get saved. And that's kind of what we're trying to encourage people to do during this time, because one of these times, just like as we started there with the bridegroom is going to come, and those that are ready are going with Him. Those that are not going with Him. The door will be shut to them. So
they'll be crying and saying, let us in, let us in.
Yeah. Just like when the ark, Noah and his family went on the ark, and the floods came, and the people were, you know, crying, let us in. And he couldn't let them in because God himself had sealed the door shut. So
yeah, it's like the days of Noah, eating and drinking and giving and marrying and having a grand old time, not thinking about the coming of the Lord.
And we see that. He also said, as in the days of Lot. Well, where was Lot living? He was in Sodom and Gomorrah, cities that were known for their licentiousness, their perversion, their immorality. And, of course, you know, look at the world in which we're living. You've got teachers in Florida becoming hysterical because they can't teach kindergartners about their relationship with their same-sex partner. You know,
I know that now they want to make separate, transsexuals and trans.
Yeah. I mean, I know one thing. When I was in school, I didn't know what all my teachers were doing. You know, we never thought about them as human beings, you know, because you're in grade school. They're the teacher, you know. You don't see them anywhere else except school. You know, you think about it. You don't think about your teachers being anything other than teachers. When you're a little kid, you know, in grade school, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, things like that, you know, I had teachers. I'm sure we had some men who were teachers. By the time I got later in I think fifth or sixth grade, we had some men teachers there. Those are the first ones that I remember when I was in school. Let's say one of them was a hunter and decided to come visit the. We had a male art teacher in first grade. Well, let's say that he was a hunter. I don't know if he was a hunter or not, but let's say he was a hunter and he came into art class and said, "Hey, kids, I'm going to teach you about taxidermy. Here's Bambi. I just shot Bambi with my shotgun over the weekend, and I brought him in so I can show you how to turn him into a work of art." Most of the parents would have a fit, wouldn't they? That's not something for first graders.
I wouldn't, I'm a believer, and if I had children, I wouldn't want to send them to the public school system.
Well, you know, and it's a difficult decision a lot of parents have to make, because in many parts of the both Canada and the United States, public schools are moral cesspools. And now there are some good public school districts in some parts of the country, but they're getting fewer and further between. It really is hard sometimes. And it's a difficult thing. This is, I think, more the reason why we think the Lord's coming back soon, because of the you know, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. And speaking of coming soon, we have another caller who's waiting patiently for us as well. But this is good. This is something we need to realize. The Lord is coming back, and we need to be ready, just like they were implored to be ready. And the virgins without the oil in their lamps were foolish because they didn't take the time to get ready, did they? So,
that's right.
All right. Well,
I encourage people to call in.
Yes.
To the station, other than just me and Nancy, a lot of times.
Yeah, and people say, "Well, how come it's just Nancy and Terry?" Well, you're the two that call in the most. There's nothing that prevents anybody else. And
when I first called in, I didn't think that I'd have a hard time calling in.
Yeah.
And getting through.
Yeah,
I can't understand that.
Some nights are better than others in terms of numbers of callers, but like I said, we do have another caller tonight, Terry, so I'll let you go right there. I appreciate the call tonight, Terry, and we've got Tom who's waiting patiently as well tonight. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, thank you, Pastor L. How are you today?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
Well, great. I really found it fascinating what you were telling Nancy about the
The Levitical feasts.
about the possibility of Christ returning on, you know, on the one of the high holy days, especially that Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
And I think, I agree. I think that could be a very strong possibility because, you know, people seem to think that when Christ died, he eliminated the whole Old Testament.
No. You know, and think of that, Tom. When Peter preached that message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, yeah, he led people down the Romans road to get thousands of people to come to Christ, didn't he? No, absolutely not. The Romans hadn't been written yet. He used the Old Testament because that's all he had.
I know. Well, I got a question in response to her question. And I heard it this evening on the radio, and it's a pastor we both know, but I'm not going to mention names. And he was preaching on the second coming of the Lord. And he specifically said something that kind of startled me, okay? And I don't necessarily agree with him, but he said it nonetheless, and it's, you know, you have to sit and digest things. But he was saying that he kind of thinks that if you're not looking, you know, if you're a Christian and you're not looking for the return of the Lord, there's a possibility you may be left behind to suffer the tribulation. But, well, I think a true believer, number one, if you've truly been washed in the blood of Christ and been born again by the Spirit of the living God, then the Bible promises that we are sealed to the day of redemption.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Why then you're putting a condition on this, saying that, well, maybe there's some people that because they're not looking, or maybe they're not quite like, you know, walking with the Lord like they should, they're going to be left behind to suffer this tribulation. I think that's a terrible thing to say.
Well, you know, and bringing that up, and let me just give you a couple passages here. 2 Corinthians, of course, says in chapter 1, verse 22, talking about that, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit, and that's capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. And the earnest, you put money down on something that's called earnest money, saying you mean to come back for this item, doesn't it? So,
exactly right.
Yeah,
well,
so
you know,
God...
living in grace, and we're saved, and I believe we're saved until the day of redemption. I don't believe that a true believer who's really been born, knows the Lord, we're still living in a physical body, and sometimes we don't look like Christians.
Yeah, but we've been given the earnest, which means that, of the Spirit, which means that God's coming back for us. He was in earnest, meaning that, when he sealed us with that Holy Spirit of promise. But think about this, Tom. I had a discussion with somebody not too long ago, and we were talking about this idea of being secured like that. And I said, what would happen? And this argument, I think, would apply to what you were talking about, some people who are born again being left behind because they're not looking. Now, I think most of our listeners are probably acquainted with somebody who's become older. Maybe a seasoned Christian who has become older and perhaps suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's, or something like that, right?
Right.
I mean, my wife, working in long-term care for many years, she took care of a gentleman who had been a pastor, loved the Lord. He had two sons that were pastors, and they all loved the Lord, but he was suffering from dementia. He had Alzheimer's, and he didn't know about a lot of stuff anymore. He kind of was reverting back to some of his old kind of rough past. And and so you're saying that because of a physical disease that robs you of the ability to think clearly, you lose your salvation? Or in line with what you're asking about, looking for the return of Christ, because of a physical disease that robs you of your ability to think and process and watch and wait, that you're going to be left behind because you're not looking for his return like you should be? What a cruel thing to suggest.
Well, I know, but we're hearing crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
By ministers that we've trusted that these people really discern the scriptures.
But a lot of times people don't think about what they're saying. And again, as I said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says that we're sealed. We have the earnest of the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. God put him in our heart, and he sealed us, and he said, this person belongs to me. I am going to come back for him. He's mine. Ooh. She's mine. Ooh. Doesn't matter whether you get Alzheimer's and forget that or not. Doesn't get all, matter whether you get Alzheimer's and you stop looking for his return or doing the right things that you should be doing. He has the earnest of the Holy Spirit in you. We are sealed, as he said over here in Ephesians, until the he says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom also ye trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where we are sealed until the day of redemption. Well, if we're sealed with that Spirit of promise, sealed by the Spirit of God, that's the earnest of God. When the rapture takes place, everyone that that is sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of God, is belongs to him, and he's going to take us out, take them out of this world.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, just
I didn't doubt when I heard that, but it kind of shocked me because I never heard him say that kind of stuff before.
Well, and again, I can make guesses as to who, but I don't know who because I didn't hear the programs. But
he's a brother in the Lord.
Yeah, and a lot of things will get cleared up better when we get to heaven. But again, I just reacting to what you said. I've heard others say it. And to me, I just look at it and I think, well, God is the one who keeps my salvation. He's the one that sealed me.
Well,
I belong to him.
You got to watch. Some preachers get off into a little bit of legalism and Calvinism and this idea of doing things. And you've got to be careful. You don't put conditions.
Oh,
grace our salvation is totally the work of the Lord.
Yeah, not of works, lest any man should boast, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. But we are saved to do good works. But the actual salvation that we possess, it was given to us. Paul said, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He gave it to us. He's not going to take it away. He wants us to work, and we will receive reward in heaven based on that. But the presence in heaven, our salvation, is never a reward. It's a gift. Hey, Tom, we're out of time. Got just a few seconds left. I want to thank you for calling. God bless. I want to thank all of our listeners. Join us next time. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.